Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Lolly Focus Pops or Lolly Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Everybody, and welcome back to the 90 Day Fiancé Wrap Up Podcast. We're here today to talk about season 10, episode 4. We're gearing up. We're meeting a brand new couple. All is right with the 90 Day Universe. I am, of course, your host and conductor of the Hot Mess Express, Puyazan Bikili, ready to break things down once more. But before I introduce my guest, I want to let y'all in on a bit of an announcement here. So this is obviously 90 Day Fiancé season 10. I also talk about 90 Day Fiancé's The Other Way weekly as well. However, I've made the decision to make that podcast a bi-weekly podcast moving forward, meaning there will be no 90 Day Fiancé The Other Way episode recap this week. Instead, next week, we'll be tackling this week's episode and next week's episode in one go. The decision came down to basically this, and I felt like we were not getting enough content in the 42 minutes to do a whole recap on, and this way, at least, we'll have more information combined with the two episodes, kind of becomes like one regular episode of 90 Day Fiancé season 10 for us to talk about. So we'll go there. I know that I was very enthused when they did 42 minutes. However, I quickly realized because they're stretching the season out as long as they are, there's not a lot of depth to it. So next week, we'll be back with The Other Way. But for now, we've got a lovely season 10 episode 4 recap for you right here. And my guest today needs no introduction, but we'll be receiving one. Regardless, he is, of course, my co-host over on the Traders Canada coverage that we're doing right now, is one half of the Free Agents podcast Talking Challenge, and of course, one half of the Love Island Wrap Up. But right here on this network, it is Brian Scally. Scally, how you doing?
Ooh, hello, hello. I'm good. I'm glad you just didn't call me Piggy. I'm glad to be here. Excited to check in on 90 Day Proper. A bunch of new couples to get introduced to. And I mean, one of my solid faves at this point, even if they're very problematic. So very excited to jump back in here.
Yeah, it's always a delight having you on here, Scally. And I'm very excited to hear your thoughts on some of these couples. Obviously, with this season being brand new, I always love getting everyone's first takes on people because I don't really talk to you or others about the show when we're not on the pod. So we kind of save it all for here. So I'm very excited to see what you got to throw out there.
Mm-hmm. As many thoughts as I have, and I usually love to bombard my friends with all of my thoughts at all times, I try to save them for the podcast. I know I'll probably have an outlet at some point to talk about these people. So let me surprise you when I come in.
And we love surprises here on the Hot Mess Express. So let's dive right on in and talk about our first couple here. We're going to talk about Nikki and Igor. And when it comes to Nikki and Igor, they are now together in Moldova. Nikki has made the trip over to Igor, aka Justin, of course. What have your thoughts been on these two out the gate?
It's tough. I'm always glad for like more trans representation on TV and 90 Day. I wish that like, and they've been doing really good about that lately. I do wish that one of the stories was not just like about how someone's transness is going to create problems in their relationship. And just like we can get like a trans person who's just a bad person, or someone who is, you know, has a wild family. But no, but so in general, I really like Nikki. I think Nikki is pretty fun. And as for Igor, I think he's trying. I don't think he's ready for this yet. And I think that, you know, he's made a lot of progress over the, 15 years that they were apart. But I think he is still learning. And it is unfortunate that Nikki is going to have to probably take on a lot of that. But as long as she is still willing to do so, send her strength.
Yeah, I feel like you're not wrong. I feel like this is kind of what the show has done with trans representation, is they are always in the same storyline, which is unfortunate and don't love that at all. But it's also literally all they're putting in there. So some diversity in the storylines would be appreciated. Now, Nikki and Igor's story, where it gets interesting, is that they were together before, and then this love story spans decades at this stage. So seeing them getting back into it, seeing how it's going to be, will be interesting at the very least. So one of the main things we saw in last episode was that Igor has concerns about Nikki's appearance, in that when Nikki does glam up, applies a lot of makeup, however you want to phrase it, he's concerned that that's going to have a lot of eyes on them, which he does not want. Now, they are getting ready to go about doing some things here. Mainly, I believe Igor has planned a nice little picnic at the park for them. And Nikki says, well, do I look too out there? Is it too over the top? And he's like, no, you look like you came from a movie, like a cartoon. He's like, well, don't say a cartoon. No, no. And then we had a little bit of humor here, Scally. Can't find the button with the G letter.
Yes, the G button. Where is it? The problem that many men have. So many men. Not unique to Igor.
The letter G, is that in the alphabet? I don't know where that is. Yeah. big issue. So he does. Buttons. Yeah. So here's the thing. He does give her a tour of the house. First of all, Nikki has to be the first one to step on the new welcome mat. So that happens. Yay them. And then we find out that Nikki has helped finance some of the remodeling in this apartment to make it better, and is very happy that Igor fixed the bathroom and you know, used the renovations correctly.
Uh-huh. I mean, we had already known that she had sent some money, I believe, right, for like, oh, if he needs like his eyebrows done or something, like, cool, fine, as long as the relationship is agreed upon, that's all well and good. I think my favorite thing about the house is he had like a very kitschy, basically like live, laugh, love sign hanging in the kitchen. He was so proud of. So, you know, what a millennial, that Igor.
Yeah, very Airbnb circa 2018.
My mom has a ton of them, so yeah. I know these well.
I thought the apartment ended up looking really good. I liked what I saw. The big story with them, Scally, and I think the overarching issue that they have is that Nikki, being intimate is a big part of a relationship for Nikki, very huge, and it seems like there's some kind of a sexual barrier between the two of them as of this moment, and it's imposed by Igor for the most part. And Nikki is concerned because when you're not initiating intimacy, especially not having not seen each other for 9 months, it makes Nikki feel rejected and kind of insecure about the relationship.
Yeah, I think that this is going to be it can be a problem in any relationship of just like, you know, I have different needs and or love languages, or however you want to say it, than my partner, and it is not being reciprocated necessarily, but especially in one with a trans person, with a queer person, with a person who in a relationship where there has been issues already of that being an insecurity. I think that it is like, all right, we're, you know, there are two problems here. now. It's like, you are making me feel insecure and like unwanted as a partner, but also you are bringing up the issue that I currently feel and have felt with you of your insecurity in like her transness.
Yeah, it, precisely. And I feel like it's, no matter what and how Igor is going to say it, it's not going to feel like anything else but that, right? Because the what has changed in those, in that amount of time, and this seems to be a big barrier here. Now, like I said earlier, they're going to go to the park. They're going to go for a little picnic. And Igor asks Nikki, well, how long do you need to get ready? And Nikki says about an hour, hour and a half. And he is not happy about this. He's like, no, no, just go natural. It's like, that is what I'm going to do. But I'm going to need an hour to get ready. And listen, I relate to this. I obviously there's been times in my life where I'm required to be ready to leave the door at 10 a.m. and I'll roll out of bed 9:50 and go. But I already signed up for that. Usually if I wake up and we're going to do some little cute, I need my coffee. Let me have my coffee. Let me do my little scrolling on the internet for like 30 minutes. Like, give me some time.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially as long as Nikki is being like upfront with how long she's going to need. It's like, hey, we're leaving at like 11 o'clock. Okay, well then wait till 11 o'clock. Like, that's what time we agreed upon doing something. So if you want to make plans for earlier, I need to know that so that I can wake up earlier and be ready. And so as long as that communication is being handled well on Nikki's side, then I have no problem with however long she decides to take.
Yeah, so they go for this. They go to the park and they see a little vendor. They're going to get some cotton candy, some ice cream, you know, park snacks, good stuff. And Nikki gets some ice cream on her face and she's like, just lick it off. And Igor's like, absolutely not. I will get you a napkin. I don't want to lick your makeup. And she's like, no, lick it off, lick it off. And then when he goes to get the napkin, she talks to the vendor. Can you believe my fiance wouldn't lick my face? It's like, I don't know how many people would be willing to lick someone's face in public.
Yeah. I don't know. I generally don't have a situation where I would have to be licking someone's face that has makeup on. So I also am just like, I don't know how much is going to come off in that situation. So part of me is like, is this reasonable? But it's just another thing that is like a trigger. And it is like, OK, this is not a public display of affection that you are unwilling to give. And it is going to make me feel uncomfortable.
Well, that's the thing, is that I felt like when they were in line waiting to get their snacks, I felt like Igor was presenting like willingness to show affection and was kissing. It's like, there was that. I was like, I don't know. Licking the face is like another level almost of like, you know, yes. On a scale of like PDA, kiss on the cheek, hug, then like kiss on the lips, then kiss on the lips with a little tongue, then licking the face.
Not even like, you could take your finger and like wipe it off the face and then like, okay, I'll lick my finger to lick off the ice cream that I moved. But no, I'm just going to full like a chameleon, like tongue on the face. Like that's an aggressive move for anybody.
It really is. So then they get to the picnic setup that he's got. And it's very clear that Nikki doesn't love this plan and feels like this is something you might do for like a roommate or a friend. I don't know if this is romantic enough. I deserve more.
Mm-hmm. I think it would have been fine had Igor shown affection earlier. It's like, yes. Okay, yeah, we can go do a day of puzzles. Like, that's fine. But the fact that it just keeps getting put off and put off and put off, while I find tangrams to be very fun and exciting, I don't think that's what Nikki was looking to do today. I think Nikki is kind of like, all right, I'm done waiting. Like, you know, let's go be intimate.
It's time. The time is that we've waited long enough. We got to sleep in. It is time now.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, again, we check in with them quite a bit here, but it is mostly the same story. And I am hoping that this problem is resolved soon for Nikki's sake, because, yeah, it seems like Igor is going to have to work towards like being ready to be intimate. I don't think that is like obviously an ideal situation for such an established couple, but I don't know. It seems like the way he explains it and like we're built on soul, Nikki seems to accept it for at least the moment.
Yeah, I feel like, and I think I've said this criticism in the last couple of recaps, where I feel like with Nikki and Igor, it's been very much slower burn than the other couples, where we're not getting a lot out of their relationship. It's the same issues keep being repeated.
Yep.
But now they're in person, so I'd really agree with you. I do hope that we move past this for her sake and for our sake as viewers. That being said, it was very clear. So Igor has this like game, the puzzle game thing that he's got ready for them to play. And Nikki wants none of this. Nikki's like, oh, would you rather play chess than make love? Why are you doing this?
Nikki says she wants to play hide the hot dog. That's her idea of a good time.
Oh, where did the hot dog go? Is it in the buns?
Which it sounds like Igor does say that people are playing hide the hot dog in this park at night a lot, but generally not during the daytime.
Yeah, he's like, you know, this is a very nice park. And then at night you hear voices, love making noises, voices. It's like, okay.
No.
And what else? Are you coming back here later tonight? No? Okay, cool. All right.
Where's this park? I'm very confused.
Just you hear voices in the forest. Like, voices in the forest?
Dear Lord.
Is this a haunted park? Like, what's going on?
Great question. Great question all around.
I think it becomes even more clear to me. It was pretty clear. But as soon as Nikki then says that Igor refuses to put her on his social media as well, it's like, all right, like all of these things have one thing in common. So like, you're not escaping this. It is not like, oh, we're not built on physical. It is, you are hiding me.
That is the big eye opener for me. Not having known that until later in the segment, because up until this point, I was like, Nikki, I feel like putting the pressure on is not going to help this, because if he's not putting the moves, I don't think he's going to put the moves because he was asked to. You know what I mean? It's kind of like kiss me now. And it's like, well, I want to kiss you when the moment's right type of thing. But when you hear the fact that he has never put her on the social media, like not posted, and we know that not a lot of the family is invited to this or that, not a lot of the friends are invited to this or that, it really does make it seem like, yeah, you're hiding it. You're hiding the relationship and you're not ready to potentially, I don't know, be in this relationship is what I would say.
Yeah. And he's not, frankly, from what we've seen. There's still a lot of learning to do. And it does seem like he's made a lot of good progress. But it is unfortunate that Nikki has to do a lot of that work for him. It seems.
Exactly. And Nikki hits him with the ultimatum and says, listen, I'm just going to put this out there. If something doesn't change in the next 48 hours, if you don't change my mind, I am leaving. I am done. I'm not doing this, which can sound extreme. But when you factor in that, again, decades this relationship has lasted, from like dating attempt one at the K1 to then breaking up to then becoming friends to then like rekindling again. This is fair. is fair, I think.
And this is like a potentially dangerous situation for Nikki to put herself in, where she is getting like made to be like ashamed of, like that is going to be triggering and could bring back things from potentially earlier on in her life where that she's faced before. So like, I'm not letting someone bring me to a place like that. Like if you do not want to, hang out with me in public, then like, I don't have time to hang out with you at all.
Absolutely agree with you there for sure. All right. So let's see what goes on with them in the next time on. They're going to a gym, Scally, but we find out quickly that it is not the regular gym that Igor goes to. Once again, another red flag.
Yeah. It's just like blatantly obvious he's hiding her, and it's unfortunate. Extremely, especially like she says, like, you're leaving. Like, I understand if there's like people that you're going to keep in contact with, but like randos at the gym are not who you like have any worry about. And it's frustrating and it makes no sense even when it is people that he knows. But it's like, even this you care are like being weird about. Like, that's what's so wild.
I agree with you there. Yeah, this is, again, it's gonna be the unfortunate thing is when you said, I hope we move on from this for his sake, for her sake. I am now thinking we're not moving on from this, Scally, for her sake, for his sake, or for our sake. No one's going to be happy with where this is going.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask, how often in a regular 90-day season do we have couples who are really, it seems like, before their 90 days and going the other way on a regular 90 day, because I was like, isn't this a before the 90 day situation? Like, why are we on the main line here?
I feel like more and more this is starting to become a lot more commonplace, especially when they've been playing jump rope with putting people on any of the franchises. I feel like this is becoming more. I mean, in this season, we already have two instances of it now with the introduction of Nick and Devin, which we'll talk about later, where it's starting with them initially being in the other country and then making their way. Because I think the main focus on 90 Day Fiancé proper is, have they applied for the K-1 visa? They have? Sure. Okay, then wherever they are, that is fine.
Yeah, and so I think that as long as we see their story heading in that direction, then, like, I'm fine. I really honestly don't care. I mean, look how many people are on Happily Ever After and are neither happy nor lasting ever after. So, like, I think that the name of the show means essentially nothing, as long as I get interesting stories to follow. I was just curious if it was so out of the ordinary or not.
Right. No, like, I'm looking at, like, last season, you know, we had Emily and Kobe who came straight to the U.S. We had Patrick and Thais, Jibri and Miona, Yvette and Mohammed, Bilal and Shaida. So, like, typically you're not getting this a lot where we're starting here. Mm-hmm. But again, as long as they filed for the K-1, they're counting it. So okay. I think the only way they, because, like, you think about it, where Michael and Angela were on before the 90 day, then they applied, but then they got married, and then they were on the other way. So they jump rope a lot nowadays.
Yeah. And in no way am I like, do it on your own time. Let me show me when you get to, like, America. Like, I don't care. Like, I want the full story and I don't want you stretching over 7 seasons. Like, show me it all. I'm glad to see that. I'm just interested.
Just curious. Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, let's move on to the new couple here, the aforementioned Nick and Devin, who we are introduced to in this episode. So Nick is 31 years old. He is from, born and raised in South Korea. He worked in Australia for about 6 years, so he has what he deems a Korean-Australian accent. He is an electrical engineer by day, karaoke champion by night, his words, not mine, and Scally, he does something that I'm a big fan of. He's a claw machine enthusiast, by the looks of things.
I love a claw machine.
Same.
Yeah, big fan. I remember when we were kids, we used to go to this place and, like, one night a week, every game was free, but it didn't give coupons. But the claw machine still gave prizes. So I got really good at that claw machine. claw machine champion by night is my second job.
Yeah, I love a claw machine. I'm a sucker for it. When I see one, if I have change, it's going in that machine. All of it is. I love it. Now, we learn, why is he on this show? We learn that he hadn't dated for about 2 years, and then he went on Tinder, and that's when he meets his now fiance, Devin, in Australia. Devin is the first white girl he's dated. She is introverted, but after a long period, he finally makes her laugh, and then she's doing some naughty things, and the producer says, well, what naughty things is she doing? It's like, you know, she showed me her ass to make me laugh. And I was like, yeah.
Elite humor.
Classic mooning maneuvers here.
I did laugh. But yeah, he's like, oh, she goes crazy doing naughty things, showing me her ass. I was like, all right, I'm interested in this couple already. And they've only been here for one episode, but I was excited.
I already in, yeah. So my stupidity. Because obviously, like we just talked about, this is 90 Day, a show where there is an American counterpart and a foreign counterpart. And my stupidity, I was like, oh, yeah, Australia. Oh, so she's Australian. No, she's from Arkansas, Scally. And she was also in Australia, just happened to be in Australia at the same time as him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so she was in Australia for a while, but then she was like, I miss my family. I miss Arkansas. And so she went home. And now his plan is to go to Arkansas, but he's a little bit worried. He mentions a few things, like there's nothing there. Also, the racism. Yeah, that seems concerning. So I am a little worried for Nick, but we'll see.
Yeah. Where was it? Searcy, Arkansas?
I actually Googled it because I was like, I don't know if I have the history. Searcy, Arkansas. And only an hour from Little Rock, like 2 hours from Memphis, Tennessee. So if we're looking to escape maybe the small town of it all, like an hour is not that far. We can move.
Yeah, it's doable. Maybe. Yeah, perhaps. Who yeah. knows? So they did. So she does go back to, she wanted to go back to Arkansas, and then they ended up getting engaged to get the K-1 visa to, you know, get the relationship going. But they also were hit with the 2-year wait because of COVID. So that definitely delayed everything by a long time, but they're finally going to now be together after this big gap. She's coming to Korea to see him, to see his family. He's going to propose to her in Korea. And the big thing he tells us is that we're going to need my parents' blessing to go through with this marriage.
Oh, I thought it was that he promised to break the bed that night. That was the big thing.
Oh, my God.
Like, whoa.
Nick, yeah, relax, my friend.
Nicholas.
He was like, I'm pretty sure she's going to have jet lag, but we're going to break the bed for sure. Like, all right, buddy, relax. Okay.
High expectations.
Very much so.
So, yeah, that was funny. But yes, I do agree that the major point that I think we'll be tackling first, at least, seems to be Devin meeting his parents and getting approval there. Now, I was surprised when based on she has so much personality in her photos. And when she gets off of the plane, I'm like, oh, she is more introverted than I expected based off of their photos together. So I am interested to see if she breaks out of her shell, how she is with his parents and how that all goes.
Yeah, I'm also extremely curious about this to see how it plays out with the two of them. I feel like the extrovertedness could be a tough obstacle, but I'm not too worried ultimately. Now, you said this earlier in the podcast, but so when he goes to the claw machine, he wins because he's a winner in the claw machine world like us. And he pulls out a pig and he tells us that his pet name for Devin is Piggy and that it's a term of endearment. She calls me Monkey. I call her Piggy. It's all very nice and it's very cool. She does say that it took her a while to accept this nickname from him.
Yeah. She says, like, when we go to America, like, you probably got to stop that. It's pretty rude. So he's like, no, we're different. It's okay. So,
yes, like, agree to disagree. I'm like, I don't know if this is an agree or disagree type of situation, my friend.
Yeah, because he's even like, oh, like, I call her Piggy because she's a little chubby. I was like, this girl's tiny. Like, she's so small. So it's like, this poor girl. But if it works for them, it works for them. So, yeah, he does get a couple. It looked like maybe some Spirited Away, if I'm remembering correctly. Some Spirited Away plushies at the claw machine and surprises her with those. She didn't look overly thrilled with the pig one. So maybe this nickname does need to die out.
I mean, I would say yes, definitely let it die out if you can and can help that, because my God.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what's better. What can we change it to? Pinky? Like, that's the color of pigs.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Something similar.
So here it is, Scally. So she has arrived now and she's with him. Ultimately, this is all we see from them. I know we're going to get more next week. We're going to see them meet the parents. So what are your predictions on these two? Is it going to work out?
Ooh, I think so. I think we're getting through this trip and getting into the 90-day process. I'm hoping so. I think that, I don't know, they are young. So I'm like, all right, maybe cause for concern there. Always a little bit of just like my, you know, I'm on the lookout a little bit more, but I'm rooting for them.
Yeah, I'm rooting for them as well. I will say the part where I will get irritated is if they do not start the 90-day process in the season where they come to the US, because then, yeah, they shouldn't have been on this show. They should have been on before the 90-day.
Hmm. That's the thing. Is it almost? I was like, oh, so we're guaranteed to make it there, or are we showing this because they never make it there? Like, and so it's like, oh, I'll just use it here instead of before the 90. Like, I don't know, and I'm interested.
I am also very much interested, Scally. Well, let's take a break for now. When we get back, we're going to talk about a couple that I'm not that interested in Sophie and Rob. We'll be right back. All right, Scally. So Sophie and Rob, before we even start I need to hear your thoughts on Sophie and Rob.
I'm not like a huge fan.
What? Nah, yeah. Come on.
Shockingly, yeah, I know. Against all odds, they're just not clicking for me. Yeah, I don't know. I am, as soon as I saw she was 23, the way that he talks about how he is, like, yeah, personality, like, I mean, I care about it a little bit, but like, I really only care about looks. And like, it's like, oh, I see how we like have ended up in a lot of these situations based on that first episode, how they set up. Yeah, Rob's not my favorite on the show. And I think I'm actively rooting against this, I would say.
Yeah, I think the more and more we see of them, the more I'm also feeling, you know, if y'all don't end up being together, that's not the worst thing in the world here. For either of you, might I add. So they are, I think, the furthest along in the journey based on the, because that's the one special thing with 90 Day proper, is they give you the countdown of how many days before they wed. So basically how many days into the 90 day process are they? And they're the second furthest, actually, 87 days to wed. So about 2 weeks they've been together now, and they're going to go meet up with Rob's sister, Victoria. And I feel like, and this is from personal experience speaking, when you are to meet your partner's parents for the first time, whether they're your parents they're meeting or you're meeting their parents, never, never make it seem like it's going to be a tough situation. I don't care how tough it might be. They got to come in level headed and like calm about it. You don't want to add stress to the fire beforehand.
Yeah, the don't look her in the eyes was wild. I was like, and also that she like fell for that, also wild. But I was just like, and especially because like, I think I stan Victoria. Like, I'm a big fan. So from what I've seen so far, she seems very helpful and willing and enthusiastic and just in pleasant all overall. So I'm surprised that this is where we led in with this.
Yeah, it was like, don't act shy. And then she said, well, you can't just tell me to not act shy. That's not how that works. Which, fair points were made. They have met before, her and Victoria, but only twice. And, you know, Rob's like, well, Victoria clearly likes her and likes us so much so that she offered to plan our wedding. It's like, they, I mean, it's a wedding planning. Like, that's, maybe she just wanted to be involved. Like, let's not, I assume she likes her, but let's not use that as a bridge.
I mean, it could probably be more so that she likes her brother. That's why I would assume she's offering.
At the very least, yeah.
I would hope. But I mean, as soon as they walk in, and this is a very me move where she like pushes Rob aside, like, yeah, I'll see you later, to like hug Sophie. And she's so excited to see her. I was like, this, she is supportive. And look, was there a little bit of like, we're going to hang out all the time, and we're going to plan everything, and we're going to do, and it's like, okay, like maybe this is like a little much, but in general, I thought that it was a very like good vibe to be walking.
Yeah, and I feel like that's always the sibling move. My sister does this as well, did this as well when she met Liana. I was like, all right, whatever, you go aside. Hey, so nice to meet you. And I'm standing there looking like a dumbass, but I know it's the rite of passage, basically. So for sure, that's the move. And then this conversation gets tense real quick, where Victoria brings up if they want to have kids. And Sophie says, well, we haven't really spoken about it that way. And Rob's like, no, we definitely have spoken about it. And to fast forward, Rob says, we've spoken about it because I have told her what names I would want to name my kids. So obviously I want to have kids. Like, that is not a thing. That is, no. Everyone's picked out names that they want to put on kids potentially, but doesn't mean they necessarily want kids. It's just a thing you've thought about. It's like, thinking about what you want to be when you grow up doesn't mean that you grow up to be that person.
Mm-hmm. I mean, a conversation that is literally in the first, like, first line of any dating app of like, how tall are you? Do you want kids? Like, that's the order of things. You know, like, it seems to be a very important question. And so for them to not have made it pretty clear, I'm not going to put it on the 23-year-old who has like medical reasons of why they are concerned about having children, on not having discussed this before. So not having brought it up and already being in your 90 days of the visa process, I am floored.
I am floored too, but I'm not shocked given that half of this couple is Rob. Like, she's young, 23. So granted, she might not be thinking that far into the future of when you know, kids are in the picture. But Rob clearly later says, if I don't have kids, what am I living for? And I was like, all right, intense. But he's definitely thought about it. And I was like, well, you should have spoken about this some more. And obviously he didn't stick around at the table to hear more about it. Once Sophie says that, Sophie clearly makes it sound like she doesn't want to be pregnant. Not so much that she doesn't want to have kids. She said, I don't want to be pregnant. And he's like, well, do you want to have kids? She's like, well, what if I said right now where I'm at, I don't want to have kids. Is that a problem for you? And he storms off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very mature. Great way to handle things.
Great.
Yeah, this was bad because especially at first, it's like he doesn't ask any clarifying questions. He just, you know, is upset. And I'm like, are you upset with yourself that you didn't think to ask this? Because if it's so important to you, and she's, again, 23, even if she did want kids and her timeline was just, yeah, I want to have kids in 10 years, like that may be very different from yours. How did we not approach this at all? And so that's where I'm just like, there were so many questions that had to be clarified in this conversation, let alone the first one of, do you want kids or not?
Right. Again, fundamental questions that are being missed here, but he's not even mature enough to sit down and have the conversation. He storms off, and Victoria instead will have the mature conversation with Sophie. And this is where Sophie explains that she's more worried about being pregnant than having kids, and kind of because she had a procedure and she had seen a doctor that had said, you know, was it a cyst that she had?
She had a cyst on her ovary. Mm-hmm. And so they basically had said, like, we're not sure how this will affect, you know, your fertility. And so
yeah,
she has not gotten tested or done any work in that, and basically had said that, like, because I don't know, it was always easier to say, like, oh, well, I don't want them anyway. And that was kind of a coping mechanism, because it has been since she was, like, pretty young that she has had this question mark hanging over her.
Exactly. So then ultimately for her, instead of going through the building up hope of, yes, I would, you know, having a kid would be great, and then finding out that she cannot and be disappointed, she said, let me not even think that. Let me protect my peace, essentially. Mm-hmm. And she says that Rob knows she had surgery, but doesn't know about the other stuff that would go into it, like the main issues that would prevent her from having kids or, you know, not wanting to be pregnant. And Rob, literally, I feel like with every passing episode, has little to no redeeming factors for me. He says, if I didn't want kids, I'd be a player forever. Oh, okay. What does that mean?
Well, that's where I'm just like, so you're only with her because she can do something for you, like in this month, like what? And like when you're done having kids, you're gonna leave her? Like, what is this? Like, does she have no value to you outside of producing your children? Like, that is so supremely messed up that I'm just I'm so annoyed with Rob.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. And it all goes back to like the initial, all I really care about is looks. And it's like, all right, well, I can see that you just like literally found some person that looks like what you want and did no other work, didn't ask them a single question, didn't like learn anything about them. I don't even know if your personalities match at all. So it is like, well, how did you not think that this was going to be like, how did you not think that many problems were not going to arise based on like your dating strategy?
It's so ridiculous to me. Like, he's being so ridiculous to me. And then Victoria goes up to him and basically fills him in on everything and says, you know, this is more so a medical thing. And have y'all talked to, she's like, yeah, well, this is where he says, like, if I would say what I'm going to name my kids, that makes it obvious that I want kids. And she's like, well, you need to talk about this properly. Like, this is not a small thing to talk about. And then when they get back to his house or their house, she says, okay, I need to think about some things too, Rob. Let's sleep it. Let's just sleep on it. We'll talk about it tomorrow. So she says, I'm going to get some sleep. He's like, I'm going to go walk the dog. And he's like, I know I'm not going to sleep. I don't know how she can sleep easy. This is very dramatic, Rob. Relax.
I mean, look, I also think I would struggle to sleep without having most serious conversations. But you had an opportunity to have this conversation and you
walked away.
So, like, I feel less bad.
Exactly.
it's obviously something that can be a complete deal breaker, even if like they otherwise I thought they would work. Like otherwise it could be a complete deal breaker and it could be earth shattering to learn that this is not going to happen the way that you thought it was. So like I understand all of that side of it, but like I have a lot less sympathy when I see every reason why you are in the situation and that you are almost all of those reasons.
Yeah, I feel like basically here's the thing. I feel like if he would have maybe I'm not showing as much sympathy to Rob, because had he just sat there and listened to the medical side of things, he would A, hopefully understand, B, be there for her. Because Victoria does say this of like, you know, having a baby is so ingrained into being a woman that like this is something that Sophie is shattered through. And I'm not seeing any sympathy from Rob. I'm not seeing any empathy from Rob. So I feel like she's being punished for something that was not in her control. Almost, which I don't think is fair.
Yeah, I don't have any evidence to believe that he like would have been there for her or been sympathetic. Like, it's not that I'm saying that he would not be, but I have no reason to believe that he would either at this point. Like, you know, there's been multiple conversations that have been had by them where he doesn't seem very understanding and sympathetic in the past. So maybe he is, and maybe this will get cleared up, but I'm still nervous about it. Like I could see that it's like, well, I don't know if I could have kids. And it's like, well, I don't know if that's a deal breaker. Like, you know, it could still be the like, ooh, well, then I don't know if I want this and I'm out. Like that could be a realistic possibility for Rob.
Yeah, that's about all I've got on Rob here. In the next time on, he has done something because Sophie tells us that she feels trapped and she feels alone. So I don't know how this is going to escalate to this point, but it's going to get to a not good place.
Yeah, I mean, I could see a world in which he refuses to have the conversation the next day, or they start having the conversation and he walks away again. Like, you know, who knows? Or just like they can't come to an agreement after they like, let's say in some world, they have a super healthy conversation. Like there's a world, you know, that world can exist where they then also can't come to an agreement. So because they have differing opinions and desires and like goals in life. So. It's tough. Again, her being 23 in a place that she's never been, doesn't know anyone. I am not surprised.
Yeah, no, me neither, honestly. Well, speaking of not being surprised and maybe being more surprised, let's go over to Ashley and Manuel next, who are a very interesting couple here that I've not quite been able to put my finger on. So first of all, Manuel wakes up to the fire alarm and Ashley's brewing something, you know, doing some witchcraft. And he's like, can you stop? Can you open the windows? Like, what is going on in here? He's like, don't you feel that energy? It's better now. He's like, no, windows down, please.
If I had had a fire alarm blaring in my ears for any amount of time, no, I don't feel good energy. I'm mad.
No shot.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know how you like just ignore that. That is blaring.
Absolutely. Now, the big issue, the big speed bump here with this couple begins very much at the start of their story here, where Manuel can't get the internet on his phone from Ecuador that he currently has. And so he is asked to get some internet access. And Ashley has gone ahead and ordered a new phone for him, new plan, everything. It's going to get here in 2 days. And he's upset that it's not here now because I need internet now. He wants it sooner. And she said, well, what do you want to do? Return? And he's like, yeah. And then he like cold shouldered her a little bit. And he kept insisting that he needs to speak to his family, his people. And she said, well, I have internet. You can use my iPad. You can use the computer, the phone. We have access here. And he says, no, he needs his privacy. Now, I was with him until he made a big stink about needing it faster than 2 days. And before realizing that, yeah, there's internet everywhere else that he can use. It's coming off sketchy to me now.
So this is hard for me, where I actually don't feel like we see most of the main confrontation on screen.
No.
It's in retails. And I find that in general, every time Manuel is on screen, he seems, you know, not always to have like the best words to say, but in general is like pretty calm, pretty measured, and isn't like as demanding as the retails from Ashley are. And that doesn't mean that it's not happening. It's just that we haven't seen them. And so like I'm curious to see that actually play out on screen. But in terms of like a base level do I understand him like wanting internet on the phone? Like, yeah, like I get it. You know, I don't think that you want to be reliant on someone entirely. Like he is pretty reliant on her in almost every way. And it would be nice to not have to rely on her for like one more thing. Maybe man just doesn't want to delete his browsing history every so often. But I don't know. There's plenty of reasons why he might want internet that she's not looking at. But I just think that, I don't know. It seems very understandable for me that he would want internet. Now, if he truly was like, that's not fast enough and that's not whatever, like, yeah, not ideal. But I haven't seen it be so demanding on screen necessarily.
Yeah, I feel like that's the big thing for me is that if this was just talking to family and stuff, I think he can do 2 days.
Oh, yeah.
Even if it's the deleting browser history side of things, Scally, he can deal with 2 days. Like, surely. It's 2 days.
I would imagine so. Yeah. But I'm just, that's the thing is, I think the 2 days shouldn't be a problem. Basically, regardless. Like, okay, it's as fast as it's going to go. Okay. Because that's like, it's today and it's tomorrow. So really, it's one more day than it is, like, in general. So most of the time that we are arguing has already, like, spent the time that we would have been waiting. I don't know. Would it be possible to go to the store? I think, you know, in my mind, the bigger issue is always going to be like having a like super basic phone that can't even check a browser versus having a smartphone. I can understand that a lot more than I need to wait 2 days to have it.
Yeah, I just feel like, again, that made it seem sketchy. The being like 2 days isn't fast enough is sketchy. The, all right, can we just go and get a SIM card for this and it'll work and do that today? It's the urgency for me that I don't understand, because if the urgency is to talk to family, you can do that by using an alternative phone or, you know, using the WhatsApp on the web app, which I'm pretty sure you can. Obviously, I have WhatsApp and you can scan your QR code and get access to your WhatsApp on any computer, basically. Sign in on any computer through the web app. So that's why I'm like, you don't want this for that, I don't think. Because, like, why are you being so weird about it? Also, does the phone not have Wi-Fi?
I mean, if it's a real basic phone, like, I don't know. Are we going to flip phone? Like
any phone that can access data can access Wi-Fi, I would imagine. I don't know. It was strange.
Because we did see the internet cut out when he was on that one video call.
We did see that, yes.
You know, with his mom. So that is possible. The one thing that gave me pause on him is when he was like, oh, Ashley exploded because it's in her jeans. I was like, what was that?
Yeah, can we rewind?
Yeah. Why? So that was my like big red flag that I had there. Because otherwise, again, he has been calmer than I would have expected from retails. So I maybe he has been, you know, a little more animated off screen. I'm waiting to see.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see as well and see where that goes. So ultimately, they gave Ashley's number to his family so that they would call Ashley. And now Ashley is complaining about this because, why are they blowing up my phone so much to talk to him? Why are they calling him so much? Why is this happening? I was like, well, first of all, you offered your number. So obviously they're going to talk to him. Also, if they haven't heard from him in a couple of days and he just moved to another continent, to another country, that's going to be a cause of not concern, but worry. So I don't think that's out of order. So I didn't understand Ashley's incredulousness about getting called so much when she offered to give her number.
Okay, there's a bunch of people that he didn't talk to all the time when you were around, but he also wasn't having like big life changes in the time that you were around previously. Mm-hmm. So I'm a lot more likely to check in with someone that I'm close with when they move or when, you know, they're like, you know, many different things. They get engaged, they have a kid, they do whatever, like any big life change. Like, yeah, you're gonna have a lot of people reaching out to you.
Yeah. And like the thing for me is when she's like, well, I don't, these people didn't talk to me before this. Why are they calling me now out of a sudden? I'm like, yeah, when I would hang out with Liana on vacations, I wouldn't really talk to other people while we were together unless it was absolutely urgent. I'm not really fielding phone calls and responding to stuff all that often because it's limited time. So again, I'm willing to give him more grace on that. It felt like a very strange, both of them were acting very strange this episode for me.
That I can agree with. Yeah, we'll get into some of her theories later, but I have questions.
I also have questions. So let's move on forward. Now we're at 84 days to wed. And again, the family keeps calling her phone and she tells him, well, you know, what is this? I don't know who Mercy is. Why does Mercy keep calling me? And he's like, well, I don't know who your cousins are. Valid.
Yep.
Valid. Yep. Like neither of you know each other's families really that much. And then he's like, okay, I'll call her now. And then she's like, oh, I'm going to sit with you. He's like, well, it's a private matter. She's like, no. Why is it a private matter? Yeah. Well, I think the truth comes out that he was worried, like, you know, the angriness would happen. He was worried because Ashley could have a bad attitude and that could be an issue, which I thought, you're being ridiculous. This is only going to make things worse if you're thinking this way. I'm putting her in a box.
Yeah. Maybe if we didn't like instigate this like for so long and like deny her the chance of talking, then like maybe she wouldn't have been so frustrated with you.
You're being cagey. You're like, I need internet because I need private matters to get to, and also I need to take this call in private. It's like, okay, well, at what point should I start feeling sketchy about you? A little bit, you know?
Yeah. So she does have a theory, which I find, I don't know, I find it odd. Because we do see Ashley go and meet her sister Sienna at the park. Mm-hmm. And I think they have a very fun relationship. Sienna will call out Ashley like on her crap every so often, mm-hmm. Calls out a hickey that she has. Mm-hmm. And so they talk about the relationship. But now Ashley says that Manuel has a lot of family in New York and I believe some in New Jersey that she didn't know about. And now she's wondering if she's getting used so that he can leave her and just go live with them in New York.
Yeah. So what is it? What do you want to talk about with regards to this theory?
You're on TV. Do you think he's calling this much attention to like, I'm here and I am like going and I'm not getting paid because I'm not the American in the situation. And then all of a sudden, one day I'm going to disappear. And there's going to be this giant film trail about me and where all my family lives. And I'm doing this so boldly. That seems wild to me.
It seems not only wild, but ridiculous on top of that when you factor in that he didn't tell his mom that he was going.
Like,
in no world is this man pulling this scam and not having his mom be in on it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If it is a scam, which I do not think it is either. I think 0%. It's a wild notion to think about and consider.
Yeah, that was just like what was so wild to me. It's like, in what world do you think this is possible? Like, I cannot imagine thinking this.
And it was disheartening. I did check the subreddit yesterday after watching the episode, and a lot of people think that this is what's happening. And I hate that mentality. I think you have seen three episodes of these two together, and they're sharing an hour and 20 minutes with three other couples who are featured way more than them, might I add. So to have this value judgment off of that is, I think, ludicrous. And obviously, if there's a world where this is exactly what that is, I still do not think it's fair to accuse them of this four episodes in when we have not seen enough to even get to a conclusion.
Yeah, from Ashley, like, I can't imagine that putting that like on the person you plan on spending the rest of your life with and like having that solidified like as your story on TV. That is wild to me. I don't know. That's not me. I couldn't do that.
No, I couldn't either. And I don't really think that's what it is. I think he's just trying to talk to his people. I really do. And maybe, you know, do some stuff with the browser later. That's really all it is to me. The fact that we milked this episode to be this being such a big issue. So, yeah. And then, you know, she does get on the call with the cousin ultimately and asks Mercy, says, you know, why were you calling so much? What was the reason? And she's like, well, I got worried because he wasn't replying to his messages, which again, if it was WhatsApp, he can easily use the web app. If it was Facebook, he can easily log in on an incognito tab. So I think there's no excuses for him not responding to his texts unless it was his like phone number text, which he couldn't access for whatever reason, which I feel like you can still access text, but they might cost a lot. So anyway, I don't think this is a big deal.
It is funny to be like, use my computer, use my phone, use my iPad. Why are they all going off all the time? It's like, well, I mean, you told them to use them.
You said, go ahead.
So, like, I understand why I wouldn't want to then use them after that.
Now, the interesting thing will be if she, he's like, all right, I'm ready for my new phone now. She's like, no, it's kind of, you're doing too much. You're, why are you doing all these private things? No, thank you.
I would hate that. I don't like trying to hold control over anybody. That I would really dislike.
I feel like I'm not anticipating. That's actually something you do a lot, but we'll move on.
Okay.
I'm kidding. That's actually a core part of your identity.
In a game, maybe.
In a game, all is fair, but not otherwise. No, I'm with you there for sure. And here's the thing. This is how I know it's the biggest nothing burger of all time. They're not on the next time on. So they're not featured in next week's episode.
Yeah. I'm interested for when Ashley does like get to meet his family. I feel like it's just going to be like, oh yeah, obviously none of that's happening. Exactly. Just like, okay. And so like, all right, let's get to that part. You know, I'm all for drama, but there's also like, there's good drama and bad drama. And this feels like bad drama to me.
Exactly. I agree with you there. Now, before we hop into the final couple here, I want to quickly point out that next week we are getting a brand new couple that I feel like a lot of people have been waiting to see. This is the couple where the man has guinea pigs, two chihuahuas that stay with him, and also his mom lives in the walk-in closet in his apartment. And his...
Excuse me?
Yeah. Why? What? How are we glossing over this? How was this not the couple featured in week one? I do not know, but we're finally getting them next week. It's going to be a mess, Scally.
Yeah. I have so many questions. I'm coming back. Well, I'll address them later.
We'll book your return ticket at some point after this podcast. So
deal.
Yeah. Cause that's what Liana's been waiting for as well. So last night I went over to, I'm like, Liana, the walk-in closet couple is coming next week. She's like, oh my god, okay, great, I need to catch up. Like, all right, there you go. So we'll get our first takes.
You would think that usually a walk-in closet is off of the primary, so like, do we have to walk through the primary to get into her room as well?
I don't know, but just the one frame we saw, the mom looks miserable in this walk-in closet and doesn't look like she's being given a good living. I don't know what's happening. I'm so uncomfortable already.
Like, put me on the couch before you put me in a closet.
Yeah, I will take even the most uncomfortable couch before I take closet.
Oh my god. Okay. Yeah, that's a lot to take in.
Absolutely. It's too much.
We'll get there eventually.
We'll get there. But for now, we need to go over to the last couple. That is Gino and Jasmine. So last week when we saw them, they were at the massage, and that's where Jasmine drops the bombshell of, hey, my butt hurts because I got implants. And Gino's like, well, with what money? Oh, with the money for the wedding dress? Wow. Okay. She said, well, I didn't know we were going to be broke, so that's not my problem. Valid. Now, Scally, she opens this episode by admitting that, you know, he thinks I was being selfish, and he's right. What I did was selfish, but I can't change that now.
Yeah. And for me, this never, like, I feel like this never gets talked about anymore, obviously. But for anyone who didn't watch previous seasons with Gino and Jasmine, the reason Jasmine is not working, correct me if I'm wrong, is because Gino sent her naked pictures to his ex-girlfriend. They got online and she was fired from her teaching job. So whenever it's like, oh, Jasmine needs money and it's a reasonable expense, I'm like, I don't care. Give her the money. You did this. Like, I don't care. Like, oh, she's not working because you did this. So it's invalid to me. So that is always my response whenever Gino says Jasmine's not working and I have to support her.
Yeah, I don't recall if she ended up getting other employment in between those two situations, but for sure, I feel like the when Gino's point of contention was like, this rent is too much for 3 weeks, I was like, that's valid, because obviously she's going to move in like 3 weeks or 2 months. So you don't need to be in like the best apartment in the world, but you shouldn't forget that fact. Now he's upset. He sent her $4,000 for the wedding dress that she spent on implants and not the wedding dress, but he still doesn't know the biggest part of this, which is Jasmine borrowed the extra $2,000 needed for the procedure from her ex Dane.
I'm obsessed. I'm so obsessed. Just, he's going to look at her butt every day and think about Dane. And that is so wild to me. That is forever a part of their lives.
And like, that's the thing. This is not a situation now where she's like, oh, you know what? I'm not going to tell him, because she told us. And if she told us, he'll know. It's going to happen. It's like the horses left the station. If we're talking horse race, bad analogy. I don't even know how that works. Out the gate.
The gates were open.
Yeah, the gates were open. The gates were open. The horses left the gate. The train has left the station. The blank has left the blank anyway. So this is going to be messy soon comes, Gally, for sure. Now, in the meanwhile, it still is messy because of the whole $4,000 didn't go where I thought it was going to go. So she calls her sister to talk to her sister about it all. Jasmine does. And, you know, this is where we are again reminded that Jasmine's kids are asking about her and when she's going to come. And she says she'll do everything she can to speed the process so they'll be with her. However, obviously, to get the kids to come over, they need a sponsorship, and she can't sponsor the kid because she can't work at the moment. And also, Gino is not working at the moment either.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that I also am like throwing further questions at Gino. Like, you knew that this was like on the table. You knew that her kids, mm-hmm. I presume you have had a discussion that this was in the works. She would need this. And so him quitting is even more frustrating from that angle of like, what did you think we were going to do about this?
Yeah, I feel like there's a combination of he knew that she wanted to do this, but he didn't do the research to see what it would have entailed. There's a big chance that has happened.
That is true, because he never does. Mm-hmm. But just like, I don't know. It's so basic. And like, I don't know. I feel like Jasmine would do the research and she would tell him. Like, she doesn't seem to, you know, not say what she's thinking very much, especially except if it benefits her to tell it later. But this benefited to tell now. So there are problems for sure.
For sure. Problems looming in this couple once again. And then we do see ultimately Gino and Jasmine talk, and Jasmine mentions, you know, I did do this, but it was because I thought I had time to get the money back and I didn't realize this would happen. Like, we would be in a position where this would have to come up so quickly. And then also mentioned that she was worried that losing her, because you got skinnier, losing her butt, that he wouldn't love her the same and that she has insecurities. And he does a good job of reassuring her there. She also mentions that, you know, I let go of my hair extensions for you. I went back to my natural hair, which I hate. And she tells us that she struggles with alopecia and isn't super insecure about this. And Gino praises her and does, you know, make her feel secure about that. Ultimately, he does also say that to us, maybe she struggles with insecurities more than I know. Yes, she does. I'm very proud of these two, which is a weird thing to say about a couple that I do not know personally. But I am very proud of these two for clearly, after having watched them on so many seasons, that they're doing better with these communications to patch things up more than before.
Oh, 100%. You know, there's still the occasional like huge blow up and breakup. Like
the next time on.
You know, that happens once in a while. But it seems like some of these conversations actually get resolved in episodes, and that never used to happen. So I was happy that like Jasmine ended up opening up and Gino actually listened and took that in and says like, Jasmine doesn't usually apologize. So this does mean a lot. And like, good, valid. My concern being Jasmine also does say quite a bit that Gino quit his job and didn't tell her, and not telling her the truth and not being forthcoming with something is the same as lying. So really trying to guilt trip him there. I was like, Jasmine, I don't think this is the point you want to make when you are also hiding something. Maybe like, we should have another thing
hidden. Another one hidden. You can't really be doing this.
Yeah, you are making future arguments for Gino. So don't do that because he can't come up with them on his own. Don't give him ammunition.
Exactly. No, and that's the big thing here, where eventually that's going to come up and it's going to be a problem. Now, next time on, like we said, they're doing a good job communicating, Scally, but next time on, they're immediately fighting once again. So she wakes up with what looks like a rash. And she's like, this is because this apartment is dirty. And Gino claps back with, dirty? Your apartment had mice in it. And she's like, what mice, you stupid F? Yeah.
That's the fun drama for me. Like,
I agree.
You know, they're not is the relationship healthy? Like, probably not. But it's not as problematic, I guess, as some of the other problems. Now, I think that this is probably more so due to like the water being different that she's showering in, like the environment being different. But like it could be the dirty house as well. But I think it's more likely the location changing. But whatever gets me my entertainment, I'm going to listen.
And this is kind of where I'm at with these two, where if they are going to have heartfelt conversations about their insecurities or their problems and they're working towards it, I love that. But then when they're fighting, if it's about smaller stuff, not like life-changing stuff and just fun drama, I love that too. It's weird that I've had such a 180 experience on Gino and Jasmine because I actively want them on the show. They're not exhausting to me in the way a Michael and Angela have been, or a Big Ed and wow, I'm blanking on her name.
Angela?
Big Ed and oh my God. Literally watching The Last Resort. How do I not remember her name?
I do not remember off the top of my head.
But literally Big Ed is the big issue in that relationship anyway. So
the only issue, if some would say. Liz, there you go.
Yeah,
for me, I'm like, get Gino and Jasmine on the next season. Put them on, like, if you put them on Happily Ever After, like, I'm gonna be a lot more content. Put her on House of Villains. Put them both on The Traitors. I'd watch that. Like,
could you imagine Gino and Jasmine on The Traitors, and Jasmine is sus of him, and is like, you weren't looking us in the eyes, and he's like, no, sometimes I don't really want to do that. And she's like, what do you mean, you stupid F, you dumbass, what are you doing? And everyone watching it, oh, sign me up. Traitor the season four. Is that
she would get voted out first, and then we would just be stuck with Gino bumbling around. So which like, is kind of, but then he would just get murdered. So I'm in for them on more TV, honestly.
Yeah, I'd be very okay with it. I finally come around to this, and it took way too long potentially to get here. Now, Scally, that brings us to the end of the podcast. So thank you so much for giving us your time. I hope you had fun here with us, and we'll definitely be hearing more from you both on The Other Way at some point again, and to talk about the walk-in closet mom and the guinea pigs and the chihuahuas of it all.
I cannot wait.
Well, in the meanwhile, let the people know, where can they find you and what other projects you have going on at the moment?
Ooh, people can find me on Twitter at Brian_Scally, on Twitch at twitch.tv/bscally. I am currently covering the Challenge 39 with Matt Ligori over on a new feed, the Free Agents Podcast. Might have some new cover art going up there pretty soon. People should be on the lookout for. And I am also talking about Love Island Games that is premiering, I believe, tonight, right? Yeah, tonight. And Kirsten's going to be out for a week, so we are going to have Haley Strong join me on the pod talking about the premiere, and then we're actually going to be covering that weekly going forward. So people should look out for that as well.
Lovely, lovely. Looking forward to listening to that for sure and keeping up with the coverage. Y'all can find me, of course, on Twitter at Puyaism. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. That is where I am when I'm not podcasting. So come through and say hi. I would appreciate it. And also, aside from our Traders Canada coverage that Scally and I do weekly, we do have exit interviews for that. This week was a lot of fun on the exit interview, so definitely check those out. I talk Masked Singer with Leon on a weekly basis. We've been having a good time with this season, actually. It's been a good one. So you can check that out as well. And ultimately, Big Brother is coming to a close, but it hasn't come to a close yet. Until that happens, I'll be there to talk about it. I believe this will be my last week for the live feed update, so definitely check that out if you can. And if you could leave a rating and review for this podcast, I would greatly appreciate it. It allows people to find the podcast. It gives me some much needed feedback. Your 5 stars are always welcomed and appreciated. You can do so over on robiswebsite.com/90dayfiance. That's the number 90 day fiance. But for now, we have arrived at our destination here on the Hot Mess Express. We hope you had fun with us. A reminder, there will be no The Other Way podcast this week. That'll be doubled up for next week. So until then, take care. Have a good one. Bye.
How many days are you gonna wait before you're tired and knocked down? How many days is it gonna take to start a war?